All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Let me grab my mic. Where's my mic?
Be right.
Right here.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Okay, we have Barbara. She's going to pray us in. I'm kind of scooting down because I want you to read her shirt. Can you get that shirt?
Got the shirt.
You got it? Jesus is my Savior. Trump is my president. This is a great shirt, okay? I'm going to get me one. And I dare people to mess with me. And got a cross over the 50 stars. So that's a blessing. Okay, so pray us in, and let's get started.
Thank you, Father God. We bless you. We praise you, Lord, for this day. I've just waited so long for this night to hear Pastor Sandy's sermon. I just love this man so much, and I thank you for him, and I bless him, and I pray that you be with every word, Lord, every word, and be with us that we hear from your word and receive the word tonight from Pastor Sandy and your heart, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's what I pray today. Let me speak from your heart today, Lord.
Amen.
I needed help. And so here we are. I just wanted to say I'm so glad you wore that shirt today, because I might as well stop beating around the bush. I love President Trump. I don't know how he's doing what he's doing, how he's ignoring all of the foolishness to continue working. What? Hey, let me tell you something. So look, this is what I always wanted: a president that was pro-life, that hated abortions, right? This is the first one we've had, so we better celebrate. I really love a president that hates pedophilia and is getting rid of pedophilia by the thousands of arrests, and not just here. He hates it all throughout the world. And secretly, with these generals that have gotten him elected, I am telling you, he is doing a great job. So today, I heard him on the news, and they were saying, Trump is responsible for the shootings in El Paso.
Please.
Because he conjures up this type of behavior. Now, let me tell you, I did a study before Obama left office, because there had been so many mass shootings when Obama was in office. I was wondering, has there ever been this many mass shootings in America and throughout the, just in America during a president's reign? And I looked at them. Obama had three times as many as any other president of mass shootings while he was in office.
Wow.
And so the few that Trump has been, that has happened with Trump in office is very small. Nobody ever said, with all of those mass shootings, I mean, many of them, okay, from Colorado to Sandy Hook to all of these shootings, never. Now, we could get into that, but I won't even get into that, because it was just absolutely ridiculous how they were covering up all of these shootings and how much Obama was like going along with the whole protocol of it. But never once over that period of time that he was there where he had, I'm going to look up my research, but it was three times as much as any other president, mass shootings while he was in office. And so I'm just saying this. When you've got over 6,000 pedophile arrests, when you've got all of these people in jail, when you've released 600 kids from a pedophile prison, okay, that Clinton had visited and that Obama knew about, when you have all of those kids and families released from there to go and have a decent life now, and all of these other kids that were throughout that NXIVM was controlling, and all of these people are going back to their lives. I'm sure they're damaged, but at least they got their lives back.
Yeah.
And you have a president that said, from the very beginning, he said, "This is it. We want to stop these people from snatching these perverts," he said, "from snatching our children, and get them." He said, "Quick judgment and hopefully death penalty." Right? Quick judgment and death penalty for him. So you know he felt strong about this. He started a project called Project Broken Heart. And so all the pedophiles that you see getting arrested, see, Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence operation. NXIVM was an intelligence operation. John of God over there impregnating girls, and then they have the baby and he's selling them on the market for $40,000. That was intelligence operation. They're getting rid of this stuff. You understand? So why would all these people hate this one president who's saying, "Let's stop the drugs from coming over our border. Let's stop the pedophilia throughout the world. Let's get back to bringing jobs here instead of sending them abroad." And then you got these people and they hate them, and they only hate them because 96% of the media is owned by Mossad, which is Illuminati agencies, okay? So if you have evil people that own 90% of the media, they're going to tell those people what to say about Trump, and they better stick to protocol. You only have one station right now, I think Fox, that will say the truth, you know, about what's going on. So it's a beautiful thing to watch. It's like one of the best chess games I've ever seen in my life, because it's just happening so smoothly. And I'm just going to keep praying for our president and hoping that everything goes well with him. And then I hope he's in there until we get raptured. And I hope somebody led him to Christ.
Amen.
And then I hope he has a house right next door to Sharon. Yeah. He could have one. I want him to be next door to somebody that was like, "I didn't think you was a good guy,
no.
But now that you're here, you're okay."
All right.
Yeah, praise God. All right, so I want to thank. First, I want to say, Stacy, it was a pleasure talking with you the other day. Say hello to your husband, Randy. I think your daughter's name is Anna. Say hello to all of them for me as well. But Sharon is here. And so I told her about the prayer that she did and what happened to you on the way to the airport. So she's really happy about that everything worked out for you. Praise God. And now, hey, how you doing tonight? All right. So now I want to thank Natalie. And she's from Houston, Texas. And Pastor Ben couldn't figure out the last name. So if you online, type in your last name.
Natalie, email me your last name.
But I ain't going to say your address, but you in Houston, Texas. And she sent us this. Look at this. Look at this. First of all, look at that side. Wait a minute. Where's my card? It says we are Apple. Is it sideways? Does it go sideways right that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you find the
card? Yep. And it says, S4C, like an apple in the eyes of the Lord, ripe and ready for harvest. July 31st, that's when this was. And it says, dear Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, thank you, Natalie. And so thank you so much for this. I got to show you the other side as well. S4C. Okay. So I don't know which side to hang it on. But we're going to hang it in our normal spot. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's get back to this, because we serve an awesome God. I don't know where to start when I'm talking about Jesus, because we live in a very evil world. Everybody's crazy. A lot of people are crazy. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I used to think that the music that we listened to when we were young was bad. And, you know, we'll take NWA over these people. Over this new stuff, we're like, NWA would be like PG.
Yeah.
13. What we got now is just absolutely crazy. So, and then I can't even watch a movie anymore because there's always two women kissing or two men. It is everything you watch, they're pushing homosexuality on you. So we live in an absolutely crazy world.
More than zombies on every movie.
And I want to tell you guys something. One of the scientists says there'll come a day very soon where our question will not be, do you have a cell phone? It will be, are you Neuralinked? Are you Neuralinked? You know what Neuralinked is? And it says if you don't jump on, the guy that's doing this says that if you don't want to get on, it'll just leave you behind. It's the AI program. And what you'll do is they'll put a chip in your head or behind here that will connect to your neural links in your body, and then they can control you. But what they also can do is download information in you. So it'll be hard for you to get a job against somebody who's Neuralink, because all they got to do is download information, and they're going to be faster at their job than you are. So to say that you're not Neuralinked and you're not AI, you're not AI competitive, then they said society's going to leave you behind. But that's just some of the things that Satan is planning right before the rapture. And then the Bible says he can't do anything until we leave, right?
Thank God.
So when we leave, they can do all of that. But the church is leaving first, and that is a confirmation from the Bible. How do we know that God is real? How do you confirm that the Bible is real? Is it possible? Or do we just say, well, this is the Quran, this is the Bible, this is the Book of Buddha. Which one is correct? You said it right. Prophecy, right?
That's right.
There's only one book that tells you what's going to happen before it happens. Okay? And like I said, I led a Jewish guy to Christ by showing him in the book of Esther that Hitler was going to die in 1946 and that his 10 henchmen were going to get hung in 1947. It's in the book of Esther. And if you have a Hebrew book and you know a little bit of Hebrew, you can see that God prophesied the exact year that Hitler would die and his 10 cronies. And it's right in the book of Esther. And how would God be able to do that, knowing that this event is going to happen again in 1947? This event is going to happen. And to be able to put it in the Bible. And by showing him that, I was able to show him other things that were incredible, such as the rebirth of the nation of Israel, the Six-Day War, how God put it in the scripture that this 48 will happen, and he puts into scripture 19 years later they'll get Jerusalem back. But he put it in Genesis and he put it in Kings, you understand? So that you know that from the beginning he already knew what the future would be, okay? So our God confirms who he is by what? Prophecy, okay?
Amen.
Now, with that, we are going to go to Judges. Hello, everybody, all S4C family. I hope you have your Bibles with you, because we're going to go to the book of Judges. And I'm going to get my glasses, because they help. I don't know if you guys ever read this story in the Bible before, but let's read it and let's see if this has happened. Because what God does is, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Therefore, when you see everything that I said was going to happen before it happens, then that means you don't lose heart. You don't lose your understanding. Judges chapter 11.
And what verse?
And we're going to be in the first verse here. And this guy's name is Jephthah. And it said Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. You are not going to get any inheritance in our family, they said, because you are the son of a strange woman. As my Bible says another woman. Most Bible says a strange woman. Okay? Now, they're rejecting him based on the fact that what? They're saying, our mother is not your mother, right? And they're saying, your mother is a strange woman. So they're kicking him out because not that they don't have the same father, but the fact that they don't even know that his mother's a prostitute. The father knew that the mother was a prostitute. But the scripture is letting you know that they're rejecting him. They're telling him, you can't stay here. You need to get lost. Go find yourself a home somewhere else because you're a child of fornication, right? Now, stay there. I don't want you to move. I don't want you to move because I want you to stay there because I'm going to keep my finger there as well. But I'm going to be in John chapter 8, verse 39. And it says, and they said, Abraham is our father, they answered. It says, and Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, Jesus says, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things of your own father, what your own father does. And they said, we are not illegitimate children. They protested. Or they said, we are not the, if you read it in the Greek, we are not the children of fornication. Do you think they said this not understanding Jesus' story?
They understood.
They're saying this directly knowing that Joseph was not Jesus' dad, right?
Right.
And they're saying, okay, we're not the children of fornication like such as you, you know, but they are Jews and they're rejecting him and they're saying your father, and Jesus is like, your father is not my father. You know what I mean? You have another father. And they're letting him know, we know your history. Here in this book, in the book of Judges, they're telling them, it says, you are not going to get any inheritance in our family, they said, because you are the son of fornication. And so Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob. You guys know what Tob means? Tov, good. So he goes to the good land, right? And he says, where a group gathered around him and followed him. Okay? Then it says, sometime later, when the Ammonites made war on Israel, the elders of Gilead went to Jephthah from the land of Tob. Come, they say, be our commander so we can fight the Amorites. Jephthah said to them, didn't you hate me and drive me from my father's house? Why do you come to me when you are in trouble? Now, my question is this going to happen? I mean, in the future.
Yeah. God said it is.
Who do you think Jephthah is representing? Jesus. He's rejected by his own brothers, right? Told that you're the child of, you're an illegitimate child. And he's rejected by his own brothers. And Jesus left. And where did Jesus go back to? Heaven, the good land, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Jesus is in the good land. But at some time, when the time of Armageddon comes and the whole world surrounds them and is about to destroy them, who do you think they're going to call out to?
Jesus.
And that's what they do here. They call out to Jephthah. They say, hey, we're having some problems. Now will you come and fight for us? Because the very first verse said Jephthah was a mighty warrior.
Right.
Jesus is a mighty warrior. Yeah. You rejected a mighty warrior. Woo. who could fight your wars, yep, for you. Okay? But they rejected him just like they're rejecting Jeff. Now, God is putting this story in here for a reason. Why? He wants you to know that there is coming a time that Israel is going to experience this, but he's telling you it before the time happens. Remember, the Bible is like, this is how you'll know that I am God. I'm going to tell you what happens before it happens. Okay?
Amen.
So here we go. Let's finish reading this. This is not... It says, sometime later, when the Amorites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to Jephthah from the land of Tob. Come, they say, and be our commander so we can fight the Ammonites. Jephthah said to them, didn't you hate me and drive me away from my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you are in trouble? The elders of Gilead said to him, nevertheless, we are turning to you now. Come with us to fight the Ammonites, and you will be our head over all who live in Gilead. And Jephthah answered, suppose you take me back to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them to me. Will I really be your head? The elders of Gilead replied, the Lord is our witness. We will certainly do as you say. So Jephthah went with them, with the all the words before the Lord in Mizpah. So he told them. Now he fights this war. Guess what the war? The war was over land where the Jews took it from us, and they said the war with you because and they tell Jephthah, just give us the land peacefully, and we won't come to war against you. Jephthah's like, I'm a mighty warrior. I ain't scared. He said, but I gave some information like, what you need to do is turn back because this does not belong to you. It was our land from the beginning, right? So this is going to have a future. Understand? God put this little story in there to let you know, look, the whole, is this the only story about this problem is gone? So wars, they're trying to divide the land, okay? And who will take every nation, not just Palestinians, who every world come against Israel? There's a big giant in the world. He's going to be a big 666 giant. That's Lakewood Mall, and they had a 666 t-shirt table, an artifacts table. And you should have seen the people lining up to buy the 666 t-shirts. I was like, what kind of world are we living in? If they had that when I was a kid, everybody would be running out of the mall, like the mall, right? They had people lining up to buy these t-shirts. And I go, wow, we live in a different world, right? 666. Jesus, right? Salvation. Forehead, cut off his head, and they're going to set him, right? So we know this story has already been told. Now, here's the problem. I'm praying, and the Lord is very disappointed in the behavior of some Christians. Because the rapture is a solid doctrine. He said, there's no reason for you to apologize for teaching a wedding bride of kings that happened in the Bible, and it starts in Jesus, and is continually being repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated throughout. Why? So that you don't miss the whole Christianity sad if you before the rapture, eventually we're all going to get off of living right, waiting for Jesus to preach to you a message that's going to stimulate your flesh. And what stimulates about your almost like preach lottery, right?
Yeah.
If you give, and let me tell you what happened to me. One time I didn't have the money to pay a bill, but all I had was $80, and I said I'm gonna sow this $80. And the preacher told me to sow it because God's going to do something. And I sold that $80. And the next day, I got a $20,000 check in the mail. And it's just lying. They didn't get nothing. But if everybody's preaching like that, how are you going to ever hear the real message that God wants you to know?
Never.
Is that live right because I'm coming. And I'm coming to take you out of here because that's why I left. I left to build you a place. To go and make you a home and build you a place so come and take you so you can be with me. Okay? That's and so the Bible's whole story is live right. Don't worry about the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yes.
That's what God says.
Yes.
Jesus says he's overcome the world, so you don't even have to worry about the world. The only enemy that you have in this world is you.
Yeah.
Because if you live sinful, God be like this. Because you're a parent, you're like, you threw the rock through the window and you brought home all D's and F's.
Huh.
No, you can't get a new bike, right?
Amen.
Matter of fact, go to your room and stay there, right?
Yep.
So we think, oh, God's different from us, though. No matter how much we do, God will just continue blessing us. Because he's not a real father.
Not a real parent.
He'll never really chastise us, right? So we try to live evil, and then we're still wondering, what happened to my blessing? Well, like I see everything that you're doing. What did I say last week? You can't secretly sin against God.
Amen.
You in a closet watching porn or whatever. God is like in the closet with you going, really, is this what we're going to do? Right? So it's like you are never. He's going to see everything that you do, right? It's like secretly jumping off a building, right? Like you secretly jumped, but guess what? Eventually, everybody's going to know, right? Because we'll see the splatter in the morning. But you can't secretly sin against God because the law, like gravity and like sin, it works the same way. Eventually, it destroys you, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I'm trying to get to you the same exact message from Genesis, okay? God created Adam. God said that it's not good that Adam should be alone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
God said, let me put Adam to sleep. Let me pierce him in his side. Let me take what comes from his side into a bride. And then let me take that bride and bring that bride to Adam and present her to him. Okay? God said, the second Adam is my son. You can't have a bride, Jesus, until you are asleep. You have to die on this cross. When he died, what did they do? They pierced him in the side. Out of his side came what? Blood and water, which is the elements that makes us born again, which makes us the bride, and he's planning on presenting us to Christ. Okay? And so he's telling you this rapture story in Adam and Eve. He's already telling you. He doesn't say, oh, and then Adam came and got his bride.
Right.
He's writing everything for a reason, right? I'm writing this to let you know that after I create your bride, I'm going to bring her to you. So you're not staying here. God's saying, I'm taking you there, right? All right. The name of this message is what, Pastor Ben? Seven.
It is seven.
Seven reasons to hope for rapture hope. Now look, here's another one. This is Abraham, Eliezer, and Isaac, right? That becomes the next rapture story. What is it? Abraham's the father. He has a son named Isaac. Eliezer means the Holy Spirit in Hebrew, right? So the father goes to sacrifice his son, but he gets his son back after 3 days, right? Once he gets his son back, he tells Eliezer, hey, I need you to go to a distant land and get a bride for my son. Eliezer leaves. and he meets Isaac's bride, and he convinces her to come back and marry Isaac, right? So you get the same Jesus story, because he had a father, and his father said, once I get my son back, now I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to the earth to look for a bride, right? So now that the Holy Spirit's going to bring us back to Christ. It's the same story. God doesn't want you to get off. You understand? Let me tell you something. I used to write scripts. I can make up a million ways to preach to you that don't tell you about nothing,
yep.
Right? But tickle your ear and fancy you to the utmost heights, right? Whereas you will be feeling so good when you leave church, you're going to need another hit when you come back next Sunday, okay? I can do that because all you need is the gift of gab and understand what stimulates people. And what stimulates people is talking about the greatness that God's going to do in your life and how he's going to bless you and how he's, and yes, if you're going through bad times, this is what you need to do. And if you just do this, then the Lord told me, if you just hold on a little longer and don't stop tithing, because when you're lacking your faith this way and not, and we could just go on and we could have a band and we could do pop, 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 and you'll be jumping. And then I got you next week. And then we just do the whole thing till my pockets are fat. And you're still catching the bus, but don't worry, your blessing's coming. Right? Because I know how it works. I grew up in it, right? Yeah. I know how it works.
Yeah.
So then, okay, so now we got to get to the next rapture story. So the next rapture story is Joseph. Joseph, his brothers don't like him. Where have you heard that before? Right, hey, Joseph, hey, my brothers don't like me. God, why you keep telling the same story? Somebody brother don't like him, right? Well, I guess he's going to end up dying and becoming king. He's like, wait on the story. I've heard it before. Joseph gets sold for silver by a guy named Judah. Not Judas. We're going to wait for later for that one. This guy's name is Judah, right? It's like God is a great storyteller. He's telling the same story. So Judah sells him for silver, right? And then they throw him in a hole. He comes out of the hole. And then he's sent to Egypt, right? But now he comes out of the hole to one day become their king. He's accused of something he didn't do. Just like Jesus, right? He's sent to prison with two other criminals, a baker and the cupbearer, right? So now he's like Jesus. He's got one on this side and one on this side. He's in the middle and he's trying to figure out, you know. But now he gets to the story that Joseph tells the king his dream. And they let Joseph out of prison, okay? And Joseph gets out of prison, and when he gives the king the story about what's going to happen in his dream, the king loves him and makes him second in command throughout Egypt.
Yeah.
So the guy who got rejected by his brothers and thrown in a hole with 30 for 30 pieces or for 20 pieces of silver now has become king. And guess what? Now there's going to be 7 years of famine in the land, and all you brothers that hated me and got rid of me, you're going to be hungry, and you're going to have to come to me for your help. Doesn't this sound like Jephthah? They're going to have to come to him again, right? So now they come to Jesus, right? Or they come to Joseph, and they say, we don't have any food where we are. And they're secretly trying to speak Hebrew, but they don't know he's him. So he's like, my name is Vina, I call out there, man. I know everything you're saying, right? So he's listening to him, and they don't know that he's the brother, but understand what's happening. Now it gets to the point where they need help so bad that Joseph decides he can't do it anymore. He cries, he breaks down, and he tells them, I'm your brother. I'm the one that you rejected. They're like, no, what are they thinking now? Oh my God, we treated him so bad. We're done. He's king now. When Jesus comes back to help Israel, guess what? He's king now. When they see him, he's coming back, right? So they say, oh my goodness, Joseph. So they're trying to apologize. He says, chill out on all that, right? He didn't say that, but because Jesus don't talk about it. But he's like, what you did for evil. But God had you do it because by you doing what you did to me, I've been able to save the whole world from the famine. And that's what Christ is going to do. He's going to come back. He's going to forgive Israel. He's going to say, you crucified me for a reason. But God allowed you to because by me dying, I was able to save the whole world. And now I forgive you. Come on in. And then he forgives his own people and it's set up again. Same story. Okay. We get to Moses. Poor Moses.
I know, right?
Because he's about to go through the same thing. He's like, okay, I'll be in the play. Well, what role am I going to play? You're going to play Jesus. Oh, man. That means my brothers are going to hate me. And they're going to kick me out. Then I'm going to have to marry a Gentile bride. Right? So Moses goes through the same thing. Right? He's trying to break up a fight between his two brothers and these two Jews. And they say, what are you going to do? Kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And then the Pharaoh, somebody overheard and went and told the Pharaoh. So now the Pharaoh wants to kill him. So he gets rejected by his own brother. Moses gets out of there. He leaves Egypt because his brothers rejected him. He goes to an area and there just happens to be a guy there with seven daughters. How many churches are there? Seven churches. And he's going to marry one of the daughters, right? Same story, right?
Right.
So now he's going to marry one of the daughters, and then he marries this Gentile daughter, and then they're having this great life together. And then God says, "Now they're living good, right? He's got his Gentile bride. Moses is there, and then God comes to him and says, it's time. Go back and see about how your people are doing, because you still have to save them. Because see, Jesus is in heaven, and he's coming to take us up there, but." Israel still has to be dealt with.
Right.
He's still got to save Israel. So now Moses meets with God. God says, I need you to go back and tell the Pharaoh this. Tell him to let my people go. And Moses comes back. Moses, I was reading even in the book of Jasher the other day. Moses grabbed his wife and his kids and headed back to Egypt. And I'm like, didn't they try to kill you the last time you was in Egypt? Why are you taking your wife and kids back? God's like, this is my book. I'm going to tell my story. Because when Jesus comes back, he's coming back with his bride. So I'm telling you the same story again, right? Let me get some water. Thank you, Sharon. I'm forgetting I have some water.
Is your fan on?
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about me, Pastor Ben. I'm hot. I'm on fire. Okay. So now we got Moses' story. He marries a Gentile. I forgot to tell you about Joseph, because didn't Joseph have a Gentile bride too?
Yeah.
They lived in the palace for 7 years, right? Throughout the whole famine. Moses has his Gentile bride. He takes his Gentile bride back. They go back and they rescue Israel, and then everything's fine. Then we got this guy Boaz, right? Boaz is a kinsman
redeemer,
right? He's a very wealthy guy that if his family members should fall into slavery or lose their property, he can go and purchase them out of slavery or purchase their land back for them, right? So, but they have to be related to him, right? So he's a kinsman redeemer. He comes in and he sees this Gentile girl there and he falls in love with the Gentile girl, but he doesn't approach her. Why doesn't he approach her? He can be kind to her, but Jesus can't ask himself into your life. You have to ask him into into your life, right? Jesus is never going to say, ask for forgiveness and let me come into your heart. You know what I mean? He's what people are telling you need Jesus, but Jesus is not going to request you to marry him. You've got to do that. So he's showing all of this kindness to Ruth. Come and eat with me. Sit down. Have some meal. Have this. He's being so kind. And she's like, this man is being so kind to me. Till finally she says, her mother-in-law says, go to where he's sleeping. Put his tallit, the edge of his tallit over you, because she knows you're asking for marriage. Mm-hmm. She goes and she pulls his hem over her. And he knows immediately, this is a beautiful thing you're doing. You're asking me to marry me. You haven't gone after young men, but you've come after me for my kindness. And he says, I'm going to do it. Boaz, a Jewish kinsman redeemer, marries a Gentile bride after the wheat harvest during the summer, which is a beautiful thing. And they have this beautiful life together, right? So now, that's it. Now we come to Jesus, right? The Jews are Jesus' people. But when they rejected him and Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver and they rejected him and he died on the cross, when he comes back, do you think he's looking for a Jewish bride? Let's read this. Hold up. Let's go to Acts chapter 18, verse 6. It says, but when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood is on your own head. I am cleared of my responsibility. From now on, I am going to the Gentiles. So Paul is saying, look, I'm not going to try to convince all of these Jews to accept Christ anymore. God says, go to the Gentile world. Get as many people saved. Because that Gentile world, everyone that accepts Christ becomes part of the bride, right? And so now the bride is being built up. How many people have died in Christ? That part of the bride. How many people are walking around who are living for Christ? You are part of the bride, right? So we're all waiting for still the same thing. What is that? The wedding. Is this a new thing to God? No, this has been talked about since Adam and Eve, that the son's going to get a bride, right? That the second Adam is going to get a bride. God is like, this is my main focus, is to have a bride. A matter of fact, he says that you were pre-chosen, meaning the church was selected before the foundation of the earth. He had already set in his mind, my son's going to have a bride. And so this is the focus. Anyone who truly loves Jesus and truly loves his people is going to say this. You have a very valuable thing in your life. Amen. And that is, you have a relationship with the God who put the sun in the sky, the moon, the stars, designed your body, okay, created you, put air here so you could breathe, did all of these things, and watches out for you day to day in your life, and wants you to have him as part of your life so that he can continually bless you, right? This is the God. And he's not cruel. If you messed up, he's so kind. He's like, I just can't wait to forgive you. Just come and ask me, right? Awesome, awesome God to have in this world. And he said, but you got to understand, all the kindness and all the beauty I can show you in the world, this ain't it. Mm-hmm. I created you for something bigger. I'm going back and build you a place. They say the rapture, this scientist was doing a study, and they said, well, these people talk about the rapture. And he says, well, I'm a scientist. And he says, it's not really a big deal. It's just a quantum leap. And he's like, well, basically, we're spiritual beings anyway. We're in a body that can't last anyway. So once this body dies, anybody tells you, he says, if someone dies, he says, it takes quite a while for their body to die. But he says, but when their spirit leaves, we know that that person has left that body, right?
Right.
So he says, there's people that are unconscious, that are in comas, that have conscious experiences while they're dead or they're in a coma, and they're visiting places and talking to Jesus, and all this stuff is going on. And he says, these are actual events that are going on while they're in an unconscious state or in a dead state. They're still having life after this. He says, from death to spiritual life is a quantum leap. It's there, you're here, you walk through the door, and you're done.
Wow.
And you're ready for your new life, right? This is what God's trying to get us ready for. The whole Bible has been about this wedding, which is the greatest day of God's calendar, okay? It don't matter if it happened when you said it was going to happen. It's still his day that he set up, and it's all that he's talked about since Genesis.
Yes.
And all he wants you to do, he's like, I want you to be a part of this. This is all I'm asking for. I want you to be a part of this, okay? I want you to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I want you to do your best to be obedient to his word. And if you should mess up, I want you to ask for forgiveness, because he's a kind and loving God.
Yeah.
And he's like, he'll forgive you so fast, hug you, turn around, and bless you even more, right? He's that type of God. But when you persist in sin, and you persist in sin, you're saying, okay, sooner or later, God says this, I'll cut that branch off because it's not producing any fruit. Anytime you're cutting wood, what's the next thing the wood's going to?
Fire.
So understand, you don't want to be so persistent in your lifestyle that you have God cut you off. No, kindest person, you're talking to a person who says, I am love. I am love. You understand? Kind, slow to anger, quick to forgive. Dealing with. Okay? That'll let you back in the house. And you're like, is that my lesson? Nobody taking advantage of, no matter how much they love them. At some time, you got to have sense and say, I need to be right. Okay? But it's enough. How much time I got back? Go to Romans 11. Go. And we're going to finish out. Now, we got a whole saying, oh, I'm that the rapture is going to be in 2019 on this date. I don't hear any dates. I know that it's happening. We're past the 70th year of Israel's birthday. We are and do something, okay? Seventh reason is that Psalm is the Aleph Tav book. That means eight verses. It's who Jesus said he is. So 219 is the appearance of the 8th Christ, the new beginning. So is the behavior and the attitudes of believers who say that they love me, and when things happen that I talked about this 6,000 years. You talking about those spirits? You are either Gentile bride,
right,
who's accepted a Jewish, okay? It's not, okay. Yes, I want you to be ignorant of the mystery, brethren, so that you may be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the Gentiles, Akomahi, okay? until the full number of Gentiles and interest say the deliverer. Okay, so after, then what happens? Then God turns to delivering Israel. Okay? Israel will be saved, that is, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. Where's that?
Oh, yeah.
He's coming out of Zion. He's coming out of the good land. Okay? And so Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn godlessness away from Jacob, which is Israel. And this is my covenant with them. When I take them, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved out of the patriarchs. Who are the patriarchs? Bible study, Abraham, Jacob, right? Because he made a promise to them concerning their future. God's gift and his call is irrevocable.
Yes.
Understand? God said, I promised Jacob I have something about that is, but were at one time disobedient to God, have I received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Praise God.
Amen.
So the same plan. Same plan. Gentiles, you're going to come in. Oh, no, we haven't. Of course, we're headed back. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This has been talked about. And Israel, get the chip. And so I'm sticking with it, and I'm sticking with Jesus till he comes. Praise God. Amen. That's it. Hallelujah.
Pastor Sandy, can you hold that up again?
What was it? This right here?
This camera. And turn around.
So it is.